Good evening and welcome to another session of Agar Meditation. And today we have a very specific topic. This is the purpose of practice. Of late, I've been asking people of the Agar Meditation group whether they are meditating, whether they are practicing, and why they are not. I get some responses like, I'm busy, the time is not appropriate for me, I always listen to the recordings, I'm not able to attend. And several other reasons which keeps them away from practicing. And so it is important for us to understand what is the purpose of practice. Fundamentally, we must get to this realization that we are not from this world. We are born in this world. We are not from this world. We are born in this world. We are just awareness. And this awareness takes a form and name, and that's how we are born here. Once we are born here, then we have desire. With desire comes the feelings of aggression, sadness, and anger, and fear. And these feelings take shape of emotions, and these emotions trap us, and then we get trapped, rather, in these emotions. And they cause diseases in us, in the body. And then that's how our existence on this plane, on this plane called the earth plane, exits. This is how it ends. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can live a glorious life. We can live a beautiful life. And after we are born, when the desire kicks in, instead of getting into the desires and then getting trapped in the emotions, we can practice being awareness that we really are, and we can practice attracting everything that we need in this world so that our existence becomes meaningful. And all the experiences that we go through become the fulcrum or the foundation of our learning for which we have come here. And that is the real purpose of practice. So if you say that you don't have time, if you say this is an awkward time, it's a time when you go for a walk, it's a time for you to chit-chat, it's a time for different activities, then you must think again. If you don't find time to be yourself, then what are you here? What are you doing here on this earth? What have you come here for? You are the one who made this choice to come here to learn through experience. And now you don't want to do it. So you must get to this clarity on why you have come. You must get back to the fundamentals of why you have come. You cannot obviously remember your past life when it was ending, that you asked that you should be born so that you can learn. You can't remember that. You can't go back to that time and space. But you can definitely realize that there is a way to extricate yourself from all this drama that you get into every day. And that is why we practice meditations. That's why we practice the kriyas. And that's where we practice whatever we do, so that we can get all the help that is required from the awareness that we are. Everything that we need is within us. We all have read it, but not many practice it. And that's why this Agar meditation, that we practice everything that is within us. We bring it out every time we need help, so that everything that we need to manifest simply appears in front of us, and help is what we get. So let us again start this practice today with the maypole. This is a fundamental practice that grounds our awareness. It helps us relax and rejuvenate and heal ourselves. When I mean ourselves, I mean the physical body, the emotions, the feelings, everything that is a part of us. It heals every part of our being so that we can come back to where we have why we have come here. We can renew our existence, have the pillar of strength that we have always been looking for, and we can make this existence a meaningful one. So let us begin. For all those who have come here for the first time or after a long pause, let me just tell you what this maypole is all about. So it's called the maypole because the author of this meditation, Miss Phyllis Crystal, from whom I learned this practice when she was 99 years old, she had about 77 years of practice experience behind her before she taught me this practice. Of course, I was not the only one who learned it. There were about 250 people only in this whole world who learned from her. And so I'm one of those practitioners. And she saw that in the month of May in France, when she was there, she found that the community would erect a tall pole with many different colored ribbons hanging from a sphere at the top. And this sphere for them represented the higher consciousness. And they would dance around this pole, enjoying. And that night she had a dream, and that's exactly how the higher consciousness communicated with her in her dreams. And I have seen her receive this communication even in the wakeful state, where she would feel this cold shower in her spine. And when she would get this information or clarity from the higher consciousness, it told her how this maypole could be used as a way to connect to the higher consciousness. And from then started this practice, the maypole meditation. So this practice essentially does not attribute to any particular name and form of God. It attributes to the higher consciousness, which is common to all of us. So you can assume any name and any form of God that you worship, or a guru whom you adore. This practice can be done sitting on the ground, cross-legged, or sitting on a chair or a couch. But there are certain conditions that your back, neck, and head be in a straight line. And so if you're sitting on a chair, do not use the backrest. Sit at the edge of the chair so that your knees are below the line of the hip. If you're sitting on a chair or a couch, do not cross your legs. That's because we need to have a continuous flow of energy from the universe that passes through us. If you're sitting on the ground, you can definitely cross your legs. But then you need to sit on a stack of pillows or blankets or cushions so that your hip is raised above the level of the knee. And that's how your back and neck and head would be in a straight line. Whether you're sitting on a chair, couch, or on the ground, do not use a backrest. If you do, then your back will slouch and you would indulge in the mind and you'll get lost. And that's the reason why we ask you not to use the backrest. The maypole essentially starts off with a golden circle. The size of the circle is as wide as our outstretched arms with fingers extended. You're sitting in the center and you have this tall pole with many different colored ribbons in front of you. So you hold on to any ribbon, and then we ask for relaxing energy, healing energy, cleansing and purifying energy, strengthening energy, and unconditional love. When we do this practice, it does calm our senses, calm ourselves, and we are able to connect to the higher consciousness. I personally felt how it shifts my plane of awareness within a second of holding the ribbon, no matter where I am. It comes with practice. So the purpose of the practice is to constantly lift our consciousness up so we vibrate in a higher plane of awareness. In a higher plane of awareness, things happen for us. Things get easier, less troublesome. The right people just seemingly appear to help us. In your lower plane of awareness are all the challenges that we face. Both of them are meant for learning. But like Ms. Phyllis Crystal always said, that the choice to connect to the higher consciousness, the choice to connect to a higher plane of awareness is always ours. It's always our choice. So that choice is given. Either you live in the ego, of blame, of anger, of all the emotional disturbances, or you can live in the divine plane of awareness where everything is possible. We have experienced that continuously, and we've had several members of the Agar meditation who practice experience this glory continuously. And now we want to share that with you, because how we live is the vibration that we share with everyone else. So let us all vibrate at a higher plane of awareness that with the rest of the community, wherever we are, so that the world can become a better place. There is no automatic way to make the world a better place. We have to practice. That is the purpose of practice, to make this world a better place. So welcome to the Agar meditation. And now let us begin the Maypole meditation. You can just follow these instructions. Think, imagine, visualize, or feel that you are sitting in the center of a golden circle of light. This light is on the ground, and the size of the circle is as wide as your outstretched arms with fingers extended. The circle is in your inner plane of awareness, so you do not have to necessarily maintain that physical distance between two people. See yourself sitting in the center of the circle, and in front of you, think, imagine, visualize, or feel a tall pole with many different colored ribbons hanging from a sphere at the top, which represents your higher consciousness. In your inner scene, see yourself getting up from your seat, walk up to this pole, hold on to a ribbon of whatever color that appeals to you, and walk back to your seat, connected by this ribbon, as if it were a telephone connection between you and your higher consciousness. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its relaxing energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any restlessness, any anxiety, any anger, any disappointment, any clutter that you're experiencing in your mind for a few breaths. So you just have to breathe in this relaxing energy, and just breathe out all the clutter. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its healing energies. We all need healing, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other. Breathe in this healing energy. As you breathe out, let go of any pain or distress that you may feel in any part of you for a few breaths. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its cleansing and purifying energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative memories, negative experiences, negative emotions that you may be carrying in any part of you, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other, for a few breaths. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its strengthening energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any tiredness, any fatigue, or even a sense of weakness that you may be carrying in any part of you for a few breaths. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its unconditional love, which is completely accepting and non-judgmental. Breathe in this divine love and breathe out everything that prevents you from receiving this precious gift. Let go of any guilt, a sense of low self-worth, low self-esteem, or anything else that you wish to release. Continue to breathe in this divine love, and as you breathe out, let go of everything negative from the past. Come back to conscious awareness and open your eyes when you're ready. The maypole, though seems very simple, is an extremely powerful practice. We have experienced tremendous benefits from this practice. There are so many examples that we have found, from getting air tickets, finding lost objects, and so many, and to getting our bills nearly halved, and without essentially talking to anyone, just connect to the higher consciousness and ask it to work for us, and it does. It seems a very simple practice, extremely, extremely powerful practice. And this is something that we've been asking people to practice all the time. The more you practice, the simpler it gets. It is like sending a good morning message to everyone. So everyone literally knows you when you are sending a good morning message to them. But if you sent a good morning message once every year, like a New Year greeting or festivities greetings, then people really don't know you. You're not that familiar. It's not that the God needs to remember you, but it's just that when you practice connecting to the higher consciousness with your regularity, then you are sure to feel connection. With that feeling of being connected comes your assurance that everything will be all right. This is how practice works. Let us assume that you are in a workplace and you wish your boss good morning every day, and sometime you might need his help, and you walk to his cabin and he will receive you with a smile because you are that one person who's been wishing the boss good morning every day. Same thing happens. What happens in your physical world is how things happen in the spiritual world. The only difference is that in the spiritual realm, commitments are honored without you reminding your higher consciousness to honor it. In the physical plane, you need to remind people who have committed to help you. You have to remind them. But in the spiritual plane, that reminder is not necessary. Help comes when you ask. You don't have to be necessarily practicing a form of meditation to ask for help. The reason we practice a form of meditation, any form of meditation, is to rise above the mind to that plane of silence where we know that help has arrived. If you are in the busy mind, then when help arrives, you are not aware that help has arrived. You continue to pray, continue to wait, continue to be anxious and restless while the help is right in front of you. And it passes, the moment passes, the help passes without you accessing it. When you meditate, the same help arrives, and with your conscious, willful awareness, you are able to access this help. So meditation is not about accessing help. Meditation primarily is about merging with that divine consciousness. What does it mean to merge with the divine consciousness? The practice is to consciously remember and to remind ourselves that I am not this body. I am not the thoughts and feelings and the emotions that I experience. All this is of the physical plane. I am the divine consciousness. Now, why is this required? Why do we need this? It's because we all will reach this old age when we are going to get very lonely. Everybody around us will be busy. We'll be lonely. You know, in your house or in your family, you have such senior citizens who are partially able to do things by themselves and partially unable to do things for themselves because the body experiences certain limitations as it ages. At that point in time, you need to have a practice that you can go to so you don't feel miserable. You cannot start the practice when you're feeling miserable. You can practice so when that moment arrives, you can just get back to the practice that you are familiar with. So without waiting for that old age, if you can practice now, then you can exit this world peacefully. and he can merge with divinity. Whether you are spiritual or not, whether you are religious or not, whether you believe this or not, you are definitely going to age. You're definitely going to become less aware of yourself, of your surroundings. You're definitely going to be less capable of everything that you're going to do. And the mind is the only thing that has no tiredness, no day, no night. It always is there to spoil you, to ruin you. So if you have a practice that can rein in the mind and that can make the mind do certain things so you can receive help from different planes of awareness, then that practice is the maypole. This is how the practice receives its value, its importance. Apart from the maypole, there are several other practices that Ms. Phyllis Crystal taught me, which I have shared with many of the participants here, like the hourglass. We have the beach ball. We have the figure of eight. We have the mandala. We have the yin yang. We have the balancing birds that balances our positive and negative thoughts. There are literally so many beneficial practices that we can do on a daily basis, which harmonizes our life. When we are born primarily because of the desire to complete our existence on the plane of awareness called Earth and go back empty. That is the desire with which we are born. And unless you fulfill the desire, you will keep coming back. Until you're done, you're going to be coming back over and over again. And this is what I was told by another mentor of mine. He told me that if you have been listening to or practicing even 1% of spirituality, then please be aware that you have lived at least a million lifetimes. And now you are here at this moment, ready to just end the experience of life and death. This is the reality. And while you have asked for it and it has come to your doorstep, the one thing that you can do is to receive it and practice so that when that moment comes for you to exit, you are aware and you exit into existence and merge with all that is. That is the objective of practice. So I want to know from you if any of you have any questions or clarifications about this practice. How many of you have been practicing every day? Can you show your hand? How many of you have been practicing every day? Okay. So I'm asking this question to those who have not been practicing every day. What stops you from practicing every day? What stops you from practicing every day? If you don't want to talk, you can type. You are here to help. Is there anyone here who wants to unmute? Okay. So there's one person who says lack of discipline. None of us lack discipline. We don't lack discipline. We are quite disciplined when it comes to using social media, aren't we? We go back to the social media. We like to be busy in our mind. But it's the laziness, the lethargy. It's not the lack of discipline. The lack of discipline should be all over. It should be all over. It cannot be selective. But our lack of discipline is selective, isn't it? So why? Why would you not want to practice? It's not a lack of discipline. It is low self-worth. You don't value your existence enough. You don't value your existence enough. So there's another comment which says, work commitments along with studies, all these are not going in similar way. So I would say that, you know, these commitments are there for everyone. Now, what is that? Now, you say work commitments and studies. How many of you have 5 minutes available every day? I think almost each one of us can get 5 minutes every day. I'm sure that you are chit-chatting. I'm sure you're chit-chatting. I'm sure that you look up your WhatsApp messages. I'm sure that you browse social media, don't you? We all do. But just to build that habit of going back to meditation instead of going into social media. This is called practice. You have to practice going to one place every day. Let it be your meditation and not social media. Could that be your answer? I have another comment. You're personally trying to build this among other habits, so keeping up with all causes, breaks, and then takes time to build up again. So you just have to practice. There is no other way. You just have to practice. I'm fickle-minded. I don't believe that. I don't believe. None of us are fickle-minded. The mind is always frickled. So if you turn into the mind, that's exactly what you get. You have to just practice. And that's how you stay in the practice. You stay in the practice only by practicing. There is no shortcut. So now I'm asking you this question. Is there really anything that prevents you from practicing? Or is it that you get diverted and you're not able to practice even for 5 minutes? My mentor, who taught me meditations for 12 years, and he went to the medical school. He was a doctor. And every time he got even 5 minutes, he would run and sit in meditation. And I'll tell you the benefit of that. When he was writing his masters, he would connect to the maypole. He would ask God, which is the right answer? And God would give him the answer. And of course, this was not cheating because he had studied. If you didn't study, then you wouldn't know. So he had studied and he would ask God, which is the right answer? And God would give him the answer. And he would ask, are you sure? And God would ask him back, have you ever known me to be not sure? And so he got the highest percentile mark in the exam ever scored by anyone in the history of the exam. And on a particular day when he used to meditate at 5:15 a.m., and a particular day when he just thought that he would shave and then bathe and then sit and just take it a little easy. And he was shaving and the door opened and the name and form of God he was meditating upon just entered from behind, looked at him through the mirror and asked, where are you? I've been waiting for you. And just closely. and just slowly close the door behind him. God appears to you when you meditate in the name and form that you adore. There's no joke. And God is not selective upon, I'll go to him because I like him more. God doesn't do that. We are all just parts of the divine. There is no one who is higher or no one lower. We're all the same for God. We're just extensions of him. We're all the same. And so if you meditate, then he comes. I know that he comes. So what stops you again? If God would come, let me ask you, all the ones who are busy, if God would come, would you still give these reasons and excuses for not practicing? If you knew that God would come, can you please answer? Would you still give these reasons? Yes or no? So please remember that God does come. He doesn't require you to do a graduate program. He doesn't say practice for 3 months and I will come. You start meditating and he arrives. The moment you connect within, he arrives. He just connects to love. And when you tune within, you tune into love. That part of your existence which is the most beautiful aspect of you, the purest part of you, is the love that you are. So when you sit every day, you connect this love that you are. And when you connect there, he comes. Then all the misery, all the relationship troubles, all your stresses, everything just get busted because love just encapsulates everything. And everything just begins to happen. You have no idea how beautiful life can be. It's not that all the challenges will die away. It's just that all the challenges will come wrapped like a toffee. It'll get wrapped in solutions. And the moment you remove the wrapper, you just let the solutions out and the toffee comes out. And that's how life is. That's how life can be. You would never ever feel troubled. You'll never ever feel troubled because help is just around. You would know. I remember this experience many years ago when, this was before our son was born. We were going to Yerkad, and I remembered in the nick of time at about 8:30 in the night that I left my license and my car registration papers under the seat of another car. And that day I had actually gone to give a talk in a school. And so I had to go to that car to get my papers, and the cops stopped me. And I just prayed to God and said that you take care. And God said, take your visiting card. That's what I heard in my inner voice. So I just took my visiting card and went to the cop and I told him, hey, look, I don't lie. My story is that I left my license and my car registration papers in another car in Banerghatta Road, and I have to go and get them. So if you can tell me where I have to come and pay your penalty, your challan fees, I would gladly come and deposit the fees. And under the street light, this policeman looked at my card and he asked, can you treat asthma? I said, yes. And he said, if you hadn't come, I wouldn't have known that there's a treatment for asthma. My daughter has asthma. When can I come? I said, you can come whenever you want. And he said, I'm not going to challenge you. You can go. So this is how help arrives. And like this, we've had umpteen number of experiences. At a particular day when I was traveling at about 80 kilometers per hour, the cop stopped me and they said, you're over speeding. I said, I'm traveling at 80. this is the speed limit is 60. And I was, where is it? And they just pointed to me, and I saw at every 50 meters or so, there was this board which said, read 60 kilometers per hour. And I said, I've been traveling this road for so many years. I was going to my mentor's house for the meditation class, and I've always missed this board. And immediately the divine diverted my attention to his Bluetooth printer, which was neatly tucked under his belt. And he just photographed my car number plate, and then he printed a 300 rupee challan. I was in awe, saying that, wow, we are having amazing technology in Bangalore. So the whole experience of being challaned just got diverted to appreciating technology. And I was happy paying the 300 rupee penalty. So the divine knows how to divert your attention and to make you absolutely not miserable, to make you enjoy every experience. So even if you have to pay a penalty, then the divine chooses how you must do it. So always come back to the practice. Always choose the divine over everything else. Let the divine not be a standby. Don't choose the divine when nothing else works. Start with the divine, and you will see everything will work in a beautiful manner. That's the way you need to live your life. There is a certain purpose in the practice, and it is to always let the divine be ahead of you. And so it always cautions you, always is there to help you, to carry you whenever you need to be carried. It's always there for you. The problem is in us that we don't access it frequently enough. We want the divine to come to us when we call, but we seldom call. We always fret and fume and curse and swear. Instead, let us just call the divine in the beginning of the day, in the middle of the day, and end of the day. Let this be our existence. It's worth it. With this, I end today's session. So let us all practice, make this world a better place. We have a responsibility. If you have woken up, then you have a responsibility. So let's all execute our responsibilities to make this place a better one. Thank you so much for attending today's meditation. Let's all connect next Saturday. Until then, have a beautiful weekend. Have a beautiful week. Enjoy your existence, and please meditate. Thank you.